John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And John chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in verse 51. John chapter 6 and verse 51. He says, Jesus is speaking to the people. And I would encourage you to read this entire chapter. But Jesus is speaking to the people. And he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, even so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What an if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given of unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye go away also? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and art sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, Father, again, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for all that you've given us. And, Lord, this passage of Scripture has caused many people to stumble simply because they're not willing to receive it as it's meant. And, Lord, there are those that have twisted it. There are those that have misinterpreted it. And, Lord, we just ask you to help us to look at it and read it by the Word of God. We just thank you for all that you've given. And, Lord, I just pray that you'd help me to be a blessing this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus said something that was hard for people to accept. He said something in a manner that if you just read it at face value, and you don't read it in the actual context of everything that Jesus said in this chapter and what the Bible says about this subject, it could cause you to stumble. That's where a lot of people have problems, is because they have partial understanding, they have partial knowledge, and they grab hold of a partial knowledge, and that's where they stay. That's where they stop. And when we talk about, as you've heard me say so many times, when we talk about understanding the Bible, there are two keys to understanding the Bible properly. And it's not very difficult. It's actually the same rules that you would use to understand anything. You know, if I were to write you a letter, the first thing you would have to look at would be what? The grammar. What did I say? The English, right? So you have to look at the grammar. If you don't understand simple grammar, you're going to have a hard time understanding the Bible. You're going to have a hard time understanding anything. You won't understand the Constitution of the United States. You won't understand the laws when you read them. And the devil is very successful at trying to, with our educational system now, it's gotten to the point where we no longer educate. People don't know how to do things. And so we have to hire lawyers and all these people to understand for us, and that's a shame. Good news is, even if you were poorly educated, you can continue to educate yourself. So that's the good news. You can continue to learn, it's just your willingness to do so. But that's what happens so often. People read something and they don't comprehend it because they don't understand the clear grammar. And that's a problem sometimes. And then secondly, when you're talking about the Bible, you would have to look at what I call, or what is often called, the biblical context. In other words, we have the immediate context, what it says in the grammar, what the English says, what the plain language says, and then we look at that in terms of what does the Bible say about this subject throughout the Bible. And when we do that, we don't find contradictions. You have a place where Jesus said something that's pretty shocking. He said, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? It's like, well, I don't. They're thinking of putting food in your mouth. That's the context that they understand. But Jesus is speaking in a spiritual manner, and he makes it very plain that he is doing that later. And he said, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And they were looking at that in terms of taking literal his literal flesh and his literal blood and eating it. They were thinking in terms of cannibalism. But Jesus isn't speaking in terms of cannibalism. And that's the way they were thinking about it. And even some religions, for example, Roman Catholicism and some of the Protestant religions still had the idea that somehow that when we have communion or Lord's Supper, that somehow the priest says some words and that becomes the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. They are literally eating his flesh and drinking his blood under the quote, the appearance of the bread and the grape juice. But that's not what he's saying here. And the Bible makes it very clear. By the way, let me just, this is the whole thing that I want you to understand when we talk about this. This is why we know that he is not speaking about literal here in that sense. He's speaking spiritually, not literally in the sense of actually eating flesh and putting it in your mouth and swallowing it and digesting it. He's not talking about that, because he says this. If we go back a little bit to verse 33 of the same chapter, verse 32, then Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Right? And Jesus said this. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So to come to Him, to humble yourself, to come to Him as Lord and Savior, that is how you eat. To believe on Him, that is how you drink. And He says, and He said, but I said unto you that ye also have seen Me and believe not. The reason why Jesus is speaking to them in this way is because of their unbelief. It is because of their refusal to, even though He has fulfilled the Bible before their eyes, fulfilled the prophecies of the promised Savior, the promised Messiah, before their eyes, they have refused to trust in Him. And they've rejected Him, and they mock, and they argue, and they're constantly fighting. And so He tells them this in this way because He's trying to shock them. He's trying to get them to see. And He says, as the verse 57, He says, as the living Father has sent Me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth Me, even he shall live by Me. All right? This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said He in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of His disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? See, they didn't comprehend. Because they disregarded everything else He had already told them. They disregarded what the Bible that they had, that Old Testament, told them about the Savior. So when Jesus uses these symbols or these allegories or things like that, or these parables, they don't comprehend them. They only have half the story. Now they're upset and they're offended and they can't understand because they don't take the time. But Jesus says, when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, doth this offend you? And then He says, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? What if you see Me ascend back to heaven where I came from? He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, He tells them directly, I'm not speaking literally here. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. A man is changed from the inside out, not from the outside in. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit. And He says, but there are some of you that believe not. And He's speaking specifically to His disciples. He says, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And by the way, before we go any further, the Bible makes it very clear that Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Him, was not a believer. He never was a believer. He didn't fall from grace. He never had grace. He wasn't a believer who lost his salvation. He never had it. Matter of fact, if you go through the Bible and you read about Judas, you'll find out that though he was well trusted among them, that he was a thief. He was stealing money from them. He carried the money bag and was stealing money out of it. He was never saved. He never trusted Christ as Savior. He was not a believer. So, but anyway, but we get on to this whole thing and we look at what he says here. And so when we understand this, he's talking about this being something that is spiritual, not physical. It's of the Spirit, not of the flesh. And so the idea that somehow we're supposed to literally eat the body and blood of Jesus, eat His flesh and drink His blood, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritually. And he already explained that he that cometh to Me shall never hunger, he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. That's the picture, that's the understanding. So we have to ask ourselves, what's the question? What's the problem? Why is it that people make a profession of faith and then seemingly just live like the rest of the world? There's no change in their life. Why is it? Have you ever heard the phrase, you are what you eat? That's a good thing to think about, isn't it? When you're talking about our health, if you eat good, healthy food, it helps your body. It makes your body healthier, right? If you eat junk, you're going to be sick. A lot of the health problems in the United States of America are from the cook stove, or actually from the lack of a cook stove. That's a fact. People just eating processed foods all the time, processed meat. You know, and the one thing you have to realize about the folks that are doing all this stuff, most of them are not looking to give you healthy things. They're looking to make money, aren't they? And so if they find a shortcut that the government approves, they'll go for it. But most of it's not them, it's us. It's our diet, what we choose. Makes a difference in our health, doesn't it? And it's no different spiritually. That's why God uses these metaphors and these allegories and things like that to show us, to teach us. Because they're things we readily understand, right? And herein is the problem. You know, once again, I've said this many times, but the Bible says in the book of Colossians, if you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. And I'm not going to be telling you anything you don't know. This is the amazing thing about people. We get ourselves to the point to where we desire something more than we desire what we need many times. You talk about somebody's health, their physical health. You see somebody who's obese. You see somebody who's a diabetic. You see somebody who's got different issues. We always take it back to diet, particularly what you're bringing in your body, don't we? When somebody has high blood pressure, when somebody has this, what do? They run out, well, you got to stop eating this, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. Even the doctors know, don't they? Even though the doctors, our medical solutions nowadays are give me a pill. And I'm not saying that you can't, some pills can't be helpful in treatment, but if that's the only thing you do is treat, then you have a problem, you know, because you don't have a headache for lack of an aspirin. Right? Our medicine has gotten to the point where it's just let's put out what the pharmaceutical companies are providing, and that's the thing. We're no longer trying to treat and find the cure or find the problem. Many times, many doctors have gotten down to the point where their whole deal is just treat the symptom and be done with it. Doesn't fix the problem. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life on pills. And I understand they can help and everything like that, but you know, I'd sooner find out what's wrong and fix it. Common sense would be saying, and you know, that the first place you ought to look at is your diet, right? If you're having problems, maybe you're eating stuff that's not good for you. Maybe you're eating too much of something, right? That's just common sense. Then we move down the list, but we move away from the physical to the spiritual. What is one of the titles they call the Lord? They call Him what? The Great Physician. The Great Physician. Well, if He's the Great Physician, then obviously, and He's concerned with our spiritual health, and obviously here's the issue. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And that's wonderful, and that's why a person needs to trust Christ as their Savior. There's a wonderful promise, that promise of eternal life. He said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Verse 54, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Well, think about that. Just as what you eat physically on a day-by-day basis impacts your physical health, so too does what you eat daily spiritually impact your spiritual health. That's not hard to understand, is it? It's simple. And this is the thing. It's meant to be simple. But you know, we're like little children. Funny thing is, every one of these grandkids come over to the house and we cook. And before they even taste it, they say, "I don't like it." Don't you? Mm-hmm. You don't even taste it. "I don't like it." Have you ever had it before? No. "I don't like it." And hopefully they'll grow up and they will learn to like things that are good for them. That's the idea. Now, Robert, you get to be my guinea pig this morning. A bowl of spinach or a bowl of ice cream? Which one do you want?
Ice cream.
That was a hard thing to figure, wasn't it? Young people like sweets, don't they? Young people like sweets. They sit there and give me something sweet. Why? Why do we like sweets? Why do people get addicted to sweets? They get addicted to sweets because right then, boom, right then, you get that immediate reward. And a little bit of it's all right. But you eat a bowl of ice cream every day, it will kill you dead in a doornail. If that's all you ate was a bowl of ice cream every day, it would kill you. If we started feeding you a bowl of ice cream every day, and that's all you ate was ice cream, you'd be dead before you were 30. Guaranteed. Why? Because
it's not healthy.
It's not healthy, exactly. It's not healthy for you physically. And I understand we all like our sweets. And it doesn't mean that it's not of some value, right? But if that's all you intake, it will eventually kill you. And we do that with a lot of foods, don't we? There's a lot of good things that people... I could talk about water. I know people that... "I don't like water." That's kind of dumb. Your body's made up mostly of water, isn't it? So you ought to like it. Good for you. No, you want Cokes and tea and coffee and all those things. If that's all you drink, it's going to cost you. You need to drink clean water. The water is the way your body flushes itself out. It's good for you. I don't like it. That's exactly the way we are with the Word of God. And the things of the world. The devil promises things that are sweet, and we get our things to things we like. We focus on things that we like. It could be music. It could be literature. It could be activities. It could be whatever the case it may be. We put our focus on those type of things, and we neglect the Word of God, that which is needful, that which is necessary, that for our spiritual life. We don't come, we don't spend time in fellowship with the Lord every day. And then we wonder why we're spiritually weak. We wonder when sin comes along, why do we yield so easily to it? We wonder, why can't I grow? Why can't I get victory over sin? Why can't I get myself past all this? I guess I'm just going to give up. But the problem is that we don't realize that you don't just eat something one time to get the best effect of it. You know, after years of neglect of the body, you can't eat healthy one time and then I get the full benefit from it. Why don't we understand that spiritually? That there's a need to have this as a diet. Something that you eat every day. That which is good. And sometimes it's not just a matter of willfulness. It's not just a matter of willfulness and saying, I don't care about that, I'm going to do what I want to do. Sometimes it is. And if your attitude is that way, and you profess to be a Christian, you might want to check your heart and find out whether you really trust Christ as your Savior. You know, when you get before the judgment seat of Christ, and you've just been playing church all your life, you've got a problem, don't you? If you've never been born again, you have a problem. You're going to stand accountable for your sin. And you're going to answer for that. But sometimes it's not always just a willful, I don't want it. We get so caught up in other things that we don't take the time to do this, and it becomes a matter of neglect. Most people that have problems that are related to their diets, they didn't start out eating so that they would get sick. Sometimes it's just neglect. Sometimes they just took the easy way. You know? A TV dinner is better than a well-balanced meal. Quicker, anyway. It's not better, it's quicker, isn't it? Sometimes we do that. We get that way. You remember when Jesus was in the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus? You remember how Martha got upset with her sister Mary because they had all this company over, and Martha was running around. She was cumbered about with much serving. She was running around trying to take care of everybody, make sure everybody had something, and all those things. And there Mary was. She sat at the feet of Jesus, and she was listening to Jesus as he taught. And so she came, and she complained to the Lord. And she said, "Bid my sister that she help me." And Jesus said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art troubled and careful about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken from her." In other words, sometimes the problem is, instead of doing what is needful, we do what's easy, or we allow other things to take precedence over it. And that's what happens spiritually. well, I know I need to read my Bible, but I got other things I got to get done. And the truth of the matter is, most of those things could wait. Not everything in life is a crisis, is it? Not everything in life is a difficult thing that would cost us dearly if we didn't attend to it, and we took a half hour or an hour to study the Bible and pray, seek the Lord, seek to understand. And what's the cost of not doing that? The cost is pretty great. Isn't it a big cost? I could sit here and tell you the costs of neglect of spiritual things. I could spend hours talking about it, but just look at our world, look at our nation today. Look at the things that are happening. Look at the cost. And then look at the cost in your own life. There's a great cost. Jesus told us to count the cost. And sometimes we act like it's not anything worthwhile. And then you know what happens? Just like so many people, when we talk about our physical health, we talk about eating right and all that type of stuff like that, we get to a point to where we say, I'm so far gone, what's the point? And just stop trying altogether, don't we? That's the way we are spiritually too. We say, I'm so far gone. What's the point? Well, the point is, you're not so far gone. You're still breathing, aren't you? You're not so far gone. It's not too late. And that's the thing we need to understand. We need to get to a point where we look at the Word of God and we don't sit there like little children and say, well, I don't like that. Or I'm too busy. Or I'm too far gone. Isn't it funny that the same excuses we use not to eat right physically are the same excuses we use not to eat right spiritually? Sounds like the devil has the same playbook for trying to destroy people. You know, when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, He shed His blood for our sins and He rose from the dead so that He could save us, body, soul, and spirit. And if you look at the devil's playbook, he's working to destroy man, body, soul, and spirit. And sadly, we're too foolish to see it and understand it. We're too foolish to do what we need to do because we make funny excuses. I don't like it. Don't have time. Too far gone. And that's all they are. They're excuses. They're just excuses. And I just want to encourage you to get back into the Word of God. If you're saved, you're a child of God, that relationship, spiritual relationship, you need to be nourished every day. Things that aren't nourished. You know, we use the allegory of food and nourishment, but look at the allegory of relationships. If I don't attend to my relationships, they break down, don't they? Is it any wonder why our nation is full of broken homes and divorces and everything else? Because one or both completely neglected any spiritual relationship with the Lord. And as a result, they neglected their relationship with each other. They didn't do it the right way. And what happened is, because of one or because of both, the family broke up. The children suffer. That's the reality. That's the world we live in, isn't it? Didn't have to be that way, but that's the way it is. How well nourished are you spiritually? Something to think about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a break till the morning preaching. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've given. Lord, help us to see what we need to see. Help us to be wise enough to see what we need. And Lord, to grab hold of that. And Lord, help us to sacrifice the short-term desire for the long-term health, the short-term pleasure for the long-term strength and victory. Help us, Lord, to see things the way we ought to see them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.